invite you to take your Bibles, turn to 1 Kings chapter number 22. 1 Kings 22, and while you turn there, if you want to turn also to 2 Chronicles 18, we'll be referring to there in a little bit. 1 Kings 22, and we're going to read the first 8 verses here. We'll continue our series in the book of 1 Kings tonight that takes us to this last chapter. We're going to fix and wrap it up. Not going to wrap it up tonight. We're still going to have another message or two out of here. But for a number of weeks now, we've seen the wickedness of King Ahab and his wicked wife Jezebel. And last time we saw how the Lord sent the prophet Elijah to deliver some bad news to Ahab. Because Ahab and Jezebel had been the ones responsible for Naboth and his sons being killed so they could steal his vineyard. And, you know, they took what wasn't theirs. And the Lord was not happy about that. And the Lord was going to bring down Ahab and his whole house. Judgment was going to come. However, because Ahab humbled himself before the Lord, we see that the Lord said he wasn't going to bring this to pass in Ahab's lifetime, which means Ahab was going to be the first one taken out. Amen. And we're going to see in the passage here where we're at when that takes place. It had been 3 years since the last war between Syria and Israel, according to verse number 1 here. Let's go ahead and read verse number 1. It says, "And they continued 3 years without war between Syria and Israel. And it came to pass in the 3rd year that Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, came down to the king of Israel. And the king of Israel said unto his servants, Know ye that Ramoth in Gilead is ours, and we be still, and take it not out of the hand of the king of Syria? And he said unto Jehoshaphat, Wilt thou go with me to battle to Ramoth Gilead? And Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, I am as thou art, my people as thy people, my horses as thy horses. And Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, Inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today. Then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, about 400 men, and said unto them, Shall I go against Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? And they said, Go up. For the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. And Jehoshaphat said, Is there not here a prophet of the Lord besides that we might inquire of him? And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, There is yet one man, Micaiah, the son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him, for he doth not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. And Jehoshaphat said, Let not the king say so. So we see here that according to verse number 1, it's been 3 years since the last war that we previously saw between Syria and Israel. And there's one prophecy that we will see fulfilled and another prophecy that will have a portion fulfilled here. We're fixing to see a portion of prophecy and a full prophecy come to fruition. Now, the one prophecy that will be fulfilled is the one that came from the unnamed prophet of the Lord at the end of the previous war with Syria. Flip back to 1 Kings chapter number 20 and look at verse number 42. And this is after Ahab refused to take Ben-Hadad out. He let Ben-Hadad go. And verse 42 says, And he said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Because thou hast let go out of thy hand a man whom I appointed to utter destruction, therefore thy life shall go for his life, and thy people for his people. And the king of Israel went to his house heavy and displeased, and came to Samaria. There he got sad and mad again. Okay, and he's bad about getting sad and mad. That's because he is just a spoiled brat. He's got the spoiled brat syndrome. So, the portion of the other prophecy that we will see fulfilled here is part of the one that we saw last week against Ahab and his family. The Lord said that the dogs were going to lick Ahab's blood and the same place that they licked Naboth's blood when he was killed. And when we get to the actual battle with Syria, which ain't going to be tonight, okay, we're not going to get that far tonight, we're going to see that fulfilled. And there's some characters in the Bible who are either unknown to us or they're little known. And the prophet Micaiah is one of those. And we know very little about him. But his story is significant in God's plan and purpose in history. And we've already seen a couple of unnamed prophets. You know, you didn't have to be named to have an influence. God didn't put their name in there. I don't know why. You know, God names some. God doesn't name others. But it's up to him. But we've seen a couple of unnamed prophets whom the Lord used to prophesy to Ahab, and in addition to the prophet Elijah, who was named. And in this chapter, we have this prophet, the prophet Micaiah. And we will see Micaiah was a true prophet, just like Elijah. He spoke the truth. He was a true prophet who stood alone here. Now, Elijah's not around. You know, these other prophets, these 400 prophets that are really lying prophets is what they are. They're yes men. They were speaking what the king wanted to hear. They were not speaking the truth. And Micaiah was not that way. He spoke the truth when the majority of the prophets were presenting to the king what is known in our day as spin. Spin. You've heard that term, right? Spin. Let me illustrate spin. There's a story I once heard about a major company who was looking for a new marketing director. And after much advertising and many applications, three candidates entered the final selection process. And the first one in for the final interview was asked the question, simple question, what is 2 + 2? He was surprised, thought about it for a bit, and wondered if it might be a trick question, and he just simply answered 4. Well, the managing director looked at the board, and he shook his head, and thanked him for coming, but told him that he wasn't the candidate they were looking for. The next candidate in was, again, asked the same question, what is 2 + 2? And he paused and thought about it for a minute, and then replied that statistically, it was a number between 3 and 5. And the managing director smiled, and the board was quite impressed. Candidate was thanked and ushered out. The last candidate was asked the same simple question, what is 2 + 2? And without batting an eyelid, he replied, what do you want it to be? What do you want it to be? See, we're living at a time when we don't get the truth in the news, do we? Yeah? They're trying to make the truth, and it's not truth. It's lies. It's false stuff. They spin the stories that are there. And unfortunately, there's a lot of that going on today. When I worked in the accounting industry, I saw many people who wanted to put a good spin on their financial statements. I actually gave up a job one time. I worked at a nursing home as an accountant. And he tried to get me to falsify a Medicaid report, and he wanted me to sign it. I said, ain't no way, buddy. That's 20 years in prison. It's wrong. And he was a Methodist minister, and he knew I was a Baptist minister. And yet he did that anyway. But spin, listen, spin is the present day word for fudging the truth. We might call it the inclination to make truth what you want it to be. It's lying is what it is. Okay. Spinning the truth. And spin was originally an acronym that stood for significant progress in the news. Now, spin now refers to the tactics used to sway audiences away from a true presentation of the facts. A lot of us are familiar with Bill O'Reilly, Fox News. You know, he used to have a program on Fox News Network called The O'Reilly Factor, and he always boasted that you entered a no-spin zone when you came to his place. You know, he wouldn't allow you to spin what was happening, and he was suggesting that he was going to give the stories to you straight without spinning. Now, the techniques of spin include selectively presenting only the evidence that supports one's position, or non-denial denials, or non-affirming affirmations. You know, this is kind of complicated stuff that we're looking at in what we live today. It is these skilled practitioners of spin are sometimes called spin doctors, and many of them have another name. They're called politicians. Some of them are media. Amen? And the dangerous thing is that it can serve to make the audience quite content with the illusion of truth rather than the reality of truth. And unfortunately, in our culture, many seem to be content to live with illusions and spin rather than with the truth. There's a fellow by the name of David Wells that wrote a book called Losing Our Virtues. And he said this. He says, this is the first time a civilization has existed that, to a significant extent, does not believe in objective right or wrong. Well, we do, but by and large, people don't believe in an objective right or wrong. They don't believe in God's absolute truth. In other words, when we lose any objective measure of what is right or wrong and what is true or false, we are far more vulnerable to both give and receive spin rather than the truth. And we're far more likely to make truth what we or someone else wants it to be rather than what it truly is. And here we see 400 spin doctors. This is what we see. What does Ahab want to hear? Well, they know what Ahab wants to hear. They know that Ahab wants to go to war. So what are they going to tell him? They're going to tell him what he wants to hear. Not what he needs to hear. And they know that it's really serious because King Jehoshaphat is now an ally out of Judah. He's come up there and he's become an ally of Ahab, and Ahab doesn't want to look bad before Jehoshaphat, and he's got in his mind, I'm going to war. I'm going to get this Ramoth-Gilead back. You know, they stole it away from us. They took it away from us in a previous campaign, and we're going to go get it back. Now, we're going to see how these 400 lying prophets were nothing more than a bunch of spin doctors who told Ahab what he wanted to hear and what he wanted his ally to hear rather than tell the truth of the Word of God. Well, let's see how Ahab's campaign against Syria began. There in verses number 1 through 3, we read there, they continue 3 years without war between Syria and Israel. And Syria is not coming to attack them, okay? Israel was not provoked by Syria at this time. Israel had a period of peace with Syria for 3 years. They weren't being attacked. They were not being provoked into battle. Yes, Ramoth-Gilead did originally belong to Israel. In fact, it was one of the original cities of refuge. You'll find that in Deuteronomy 4:43. And yes, it had been taken from Israel by Syria in a previous Syrian campaign against Israel, probably by Ben-Hadad's dad. Okay, but understand that the desire to go get this land back seems to have come on a whim by Ahab. I mean, he's got some help now. He's got Jehoshaphat. And so he decides, hey, well, I got some help, I'm going to get that land back. And so he talked Jehoshaphat into going and doing this thing. And this desire to get back this tract of land all of a sudden became important and urgent to Ahab. Now, God did not tell Ahab to go get the land back. There might have come a time in the future that God would allow him to go back and get it. But God did not tell him to do this, but rather it was just prompted by Ahab's own selfishness and no doubt by his new affinity with Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, and he probably would not have done this without the ally. Another thing here is Judah's king Jehoshaphat joined affinity with Ahab, and that's not a good thing. Look at verse 2. And it came to pass in the third year that Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, came down. I want you to notice that. He came down to the king of Israel. Now, what direction was Israel? North. There's a play on words here. In fact, you'll find this play on words sometimes some other places in Scripture, where Abraham went down into Egypt, where Jonah goes down into the bottom of the ship. Okay? This is a situation showing that God really was not pleased with what King Jehoshaphat was doing. Now, take a look at 2 Chronicles chapter number 18. I told you that we'd get over there in just a minute. 2 Chronicles 18, and the first three verses here is all I want us to pay attention to here. And it says in 2 Chronicles 18, in verse number 1, "Now Jehoshaphat had riches and honor and abundance and joined affinity with Ahab." Now why would he do that? "And after certain years he went down to Ahab to Samaria, and Ahab killed sheep and oxen for him in abundance." They had a barbecue, okay? "And for the people that he had with him, and persuaded him to go up with him to Ramoth Gilead." I guess they got partying, got eating barbecue, and he said, "Hey, I'm going to go up to help me get Ramoth Gilead back." Yeah. And he agrees to do that. And look at verse 3. "And Ahab, king of Israel, said unto Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, Wilt thou go with me to Ramoth Gilead? And he answered him, I am as thou art, and my people as thy people, and we will be with thee in war." But listen, the Lord was not pleased here with Jehoshaphat. In fact, we're going to see later that after the battle that takes place, the Lord sends a prophet to Jehoshaphat to just let him know that the Lord was displeased with him for having gone down and been a part, joining affinity with Ahab. Now the question begs to be asked as to why the righteous king Jehoshaphat, and he was a righteous king, and he was a good king. Why would he have joined in affinity with the likes of wicked Ahab? Well, when Jehoshaphat went down to see Ahab, Ahab held this barbecue for Jehoshaphat and his men, asked him to go to the campaign, and the expression there, "went down," can refer to either a direction or it can be used figuratively for a fall. And the latter seems to be the case here, because when you consider the fact that Samaria is located north of Judah, that is up, not down. And consider also that an alliance or an affinity with the wicked is a fall for a righteous man. We need to be careful, don't we? Consider also that after all this is said and done, that the Lord sent a man of God by the name of Jehu to rebuke Jehoshaphat for this unholy alliance. We'll see that when 2 Chronicles 19, verses 1 through 3. But we need to be very careful about whom we yoke up with. Now, not only we see how this thing began, but we see Jehoshaphat's call for Ahab to inquire at the word of the Lord what they should do. There in verse number 5 of our text, 1 Kings 22, verse number 5, "And Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, Inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today." Oh, Ahab didn't want to hear that. Ahab wants to do what Ahab wants to do. You know? Well, he's got an ally that's going to go help him, so he's got to do something. What does he do? Well, he calls the spin doctors in. He knows that they're going to tell him what he wants to hear. And so, you know, Jehoshaphat wanted Ahab to seek counsel of the Lord before they went to battle Syria. And now Jehoshaphat was, understand, he was wrong to yoke up with Ahab in the first place, but at least he was interested in what the Lord would have to say to Ahab about what they were doing, at least initially. Okay? But we'll see, look at verse number 6. Now, we see Ahab call these spin doctors in. Verse number 6, "And the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, about 400 men, said unto them, Shall I go against Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear?" Now, we're not given the expressions of people's faces or the way that they're using their voices here. We're just told what they said. But you can just imagine that they are putting on a real show for Ahab to let him know it's okay for him to go. And in fact, we'll see a little bit of it here in just a bit. But we see Ahab call these spin doctors in, and Jehoshaphat was not impressed by them. It's as if Jehoshaphat was a very discerning man, and he was able to see and hear what these prophets had to say. I mean, Ahab brings all 400 of them in, that by the means of 400, maybe Jehoshaphat would be convinced that this is the right thing to do. But Jehoshaphat wasn't convinced. He said, man, you have a real man of God here? You don't have any real men of God around? Because that's what he said there in verse number 8. The king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, that there is yet one man, Micaiah, the son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord. But I hate him, for he doth not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. Now, what is prophecy supposed to be? The truth of the Lord. It's not supposed to be, well, he comes and prophesies good for you, and so you keep him as a prophet, and the one that prophesies bad, you run him out of town. That's not the way it is. If you want to know the truth of God's Word, you got to take God's Word as it lies, don't you? And so, we see the spoiled brat syndrome that we talked about in the last chapter shows up again here in this chapter in Ahab's life. At this time, there appears to have been a great struggle between King Ahab and the prophet Micaiah. We're not given the details, but only the statement from Ahab recorded there in verse number 8. And Ahab could have gone to Micaiah first, but he knew that Micaiah would probably not say what he wanted to hear. I mean, he felt like it was coming from Micaiah. He saw that these prophecies came from the prophets, didn't come from the Lord. He didn't really believe on the Lord. And so, I want you to think about that for a minute. God's truth was available to the king and to the people of Israel. And in fact, we'll see next week, Lord willing, that God's truth was presented to the king and to the people by Micaiah. But Ahab wanted to do what Ahab wanted to do. You ever wanted to do something real bad, and then somebody tried to convince you it was the wrong thing to do, and you know, you kind of saw it, but then you didn't see it because you really wanted to do it? That's kind of the situation we have here. Ahab wanted to hear what he wanted to hear. He didn't want anyone telling him that it was not okay for him to go. God's truth was presented to protect the king and the people of Israel. Listen, God's word is there to protect us. It's not there to do us harm and do us wrong. It's to guard us. And think about this for a minute. Ahab is a man that's under a death sentence. He's going into a war. You would think he would want to know whether he should be going into battle or not, right? Maybe I could live a little bit longer if I don't go into battle. If they say it's a bad thing going to battle, maybe I could live a little bit longer if I stay back. That's not what we see here. You would think that he would want to know the truth about what he was getting into here. But Ahab was not ready to receive the truth. He couldn't handle the truth. The same thing happens to us sometimes. God's truth, listen, God's truth is available to us, amen? We got the whole truth of God's Word. It's presented to us. At least I try to present it to you all the time. I lay it out there like God lays it out. Don't try not to cut any slack. But I want you to understand it's sent to protect us. But we're not always ready to receive it, are we? You know, sometimes we're sitting in the service and the Word of God goes forth and chop, chop. The preacher, get off my toes. You know? He doesn't quit preaching and go on to meddling is the way we think in our heart and mind. But when he's preaching God's truth. But what do we do? We do the same thing Ahab does. We spend God's truth rather than receive it sometimes. Oh, how we need to learn that God's Word and God's will are always best. Now, next week, Lord willing, we're going to see four things that happen when we try to spin God's truth. Four things that happen. And we're going to see here in this story. See this always take place. And they're going to wind up going into battle. They're going to wind up not listening. I don't know why Jehoshaphat didn't listen to Micaiah. But he doesn't listen either. They wind up going into the battle. And, of course, they lose the battle. And an archer takes an arrow and just shoots it. And it finds its mark right between the crease of an armor where you have to have it where you can bend. And it got him right in the heart. And he's going to wind up dying. He's going to wind up sitting in his chariot while the battle's going on and dying there. And they're going to wash out the blood out of his chariot and wash his armor off, and the dogs are going to lick his blood up. But we're going to take a look and see the danger of listening to these spin doctors, what happens in our life. Amen. All right, let's pull out our prayer list. We'll pray for the needs and we'll be dismissed.